Today's daf in Mesechet Pesachim, brought to you from Yerushalayim Yir HaKodesh, is daf Kuf Tet Zayin, and we got cut off a little bit prematurely yesterday with the internet, so I'm not quite sure where we got up to. I believe that we were in the middle, that at the point that we got cut off, it was in the middle of the discussion of Omar Le Rabba Patartan Milomar Manishtana. If I'm wrong, please correct me. So I don't believe that we fully finished the points over there. What is meant by Patartan Milomar Manishtana? Remember, the story over there was, the Gemara was coming to explain why we take the table away. We did have time to discuss what it means taking the table away. That was Manazeh, we don't have a small table to take away, so we take away the Seder plate. And Rabba's response to young Abaye at that point was, that by making such a fuss of asking why we're taking away the table, you have now potted us from saying Manishtana. Now, according to Tosfos, which seems very dochuk, Tosfos says that as a result of asking that question, so obviously Rabba explained other issues, and I said, well, you think that's the only crazy thing we're going to go do today? Let me tell you. And he told him all these other things, and that way he got him to say the entire Manishtana. Now, that is, you must admit, a little weird, because if he did say Manishtana, you say Patartan Milomar Manishtana, if he actually had said it. You say, okay, because he said it not exactly at the place that we would have said it, and that nonetheless, that's good enough. Anyway, that's Tosis's approach, and we're going to see that there's other times where Tosis has the same approach. Later on, we're going to see that it's very strongly mashma in other Rishonim, that there is no such thing as a girsa of Manishtana, and that Manishtana is actually only there for stupid kids. So if you can't get your kid to ask you anything because he just doesn't even notice what's going on around him, at that point, you encourage him to ask Manishtana because you tell him like a real dumbbell. Okay, dumbbell. Well, you don't say it that way. Okay, sweet, wonderful kid. You know, we're going to be doing all kinds of crazy things, like dipping twice.
Yeah? Okay. Why?
Okay, so that's the Manishtana. But that's not the best way to get it done. So it's not like Tosis then, who holds that there are these specific four questions that we're supposed to be asking, which is a little bit strange because those questions don't even have any answers, some of them. So it's a little bit weird that we should be koveya dafka those questions, not to mention the fact that the questions change according to the time of the Seder. If the Seder is at the time of the Beis HaMikdash, then we talk about the difference between how come we're eating things that are tzli and at other nights we don't, stuff like that. So in any event, this is how Tosfos understands it. Patata Mimoma. Omar Shmuel. So Shmuel explains the idea of the matzah. Since the matzah is written, it's called Lechem Oni, we darshan that to mean Lechem She'onim Alav Dvarim. Tanya Nami Achi, Lechem Oni, Lechem She'onim Alav Dvarim Harbe. Now, what does that mean? What it seems to be saying is that there is an inyan to be answering specifically and speaking over these questions on the presence of the matzah, which would mean that we're coming to explain why it is that we want the matzah here at that point. However, because that is true, there is an addition to the Seder, which does not appear here in the Gemara, but which comes out from the Rishonim based on this drasha. Because the Gemara continues to say, Dover Acher, Lechem Oni is written Lechem Oni, because it's not written with a Vav, so even though it's pronounced Oni, but you read it as Oni as well, to teach me that just like a poor man, Shedarko Beprusa, a poor man cannot afford a whole beautiful bread, is usually given pieces of bread to eat, and so on. So over there, the matzah should be Prusa. That means to say that the matzah shouldn't be whole. Afkan beprusa. Now, based on that, we came up with the idea of having a yachatz in the Seder. Because since we start off the Seder with a matzah, So what we want to do is we want to have a matzah that is re'uya to say the lechem oni shonim alav. But since lechem oni also means broken, in order for it to be a proper matzah for saying over the story of the Haggadah, then we want to make sure that it's a broken matzah, you see? So the two elements go hand in hand. It is a matzah that has to be on the table when we're talking about it, because onima alav dvarim arbe, not only the inyan of matzah zeh shanu ochlim that we'll talk about later where we get that from, but this is also an idea of having it specifically in two parts. Therefore, what we do is like this. We break the matzah, and since the matzah, we have two separate times in which we eat matzah. One is the Be'erev Tochlu Matzot at the beginning of the meal, and the other is that we substitute the matzah for the Achilas Pesach, which is Nechal Al HaSova at the end of the meal, which we call an Afikoman for some weird reason, which we'll talk about when we get there, because it's not an Afikoman. But in any event, because of that, we actually want to make a point of showing that it's Lechem Oni. So we break it in two in front of everybody, set aside the more chash of a piece for the Afikomen, because that, according to many Rishonim, is the part that is keneged the Korban Pesach, and it's the Iker many people mechaven. The Iker Achilas Matzah should be at the Afikomen because of that. And therefore, we set aside the larger piece. So even though the Gemara doesn't say one word about this, it becomes part of our Seder because of this drusha of Shmuel, you see? So this is an amazing additional nekuda, and we'll see how it differs from the idea matzah zesh anu ochlim, which is derived from a different source, because it's not saying we need to talk about the matzah. It's talking about dvarim harbe. All of the various issues are in the presence of the matzah, which gives the matzah a different level of chashivas in the Seder. So the third thing that we also are meramis to in Lechem Oni is simply the way that it's baked, is that it's baked in such a fashion, the way that an oni would bake it. Why is that? Because since matzah has to be baked very quickly in order for it not to be mitchameit, so then ipso facto, it's being baked as Lechem Oni. Why is that? Because the norm is that when you do not have cash for energy, and remember, energy is extremely expensive. We take energy for granted. In ancient societies, energy took up half of your day. You went around gathering wood. You had to chop the wood. You sometimes had to walk miles a day to get the wood. This was in primitive societies, energy is a very, very serious concern. So if that's the case, if you're going to be baking, baking is a very energy-intensive activity because you can't just generate some heat for your home by burning some animal droppings. You've got to have serious energy output for such a thing. And that requires hasaka, which means that somebody is burning it carefully the whole time. Somebody is getting oxygen in there, blowing on it, and so on. So that means you need two people to do the job. Why? Because you're too poor to heat up a tanur, and then once it's now good and hot, you're going to be baking. You can't afford to preheat your oven and waste a half an hour of serious energy because you have the luxury of having a preheated oven. So therefore, ma dar koshel ani hum masik vishto ofa. So therefore, since every calorie, it comes at a premium, so you've got to do it as quickly as humanly possible. The moment you reach the temperature that you're able to bake, in goes the matzah, or in goes your bread. But what that means is that your wife is preparing, she's waiting to stick it into that oven the moment it hits a temperature that it's going to be able to bake. And that means that there's a total rapid turnaround. And that's exactly what's going on. And you take a look at the way we bake matzahs. Instant turnaround, matzah in, matzah out, matzah in, matzah out, which is a beautiful way of referring to the anius in the matzah in the way in which it's actually baked in the first place. So that means both in the way it looks and in the way it's baked and in the way that we speak over it. Those are the three remuzim in one word of ayin nun yud, which is beautiful. And it's nogeh halacha lemaisa in the actual Haggadah. How would somebody like to write a capsule on that, huh? Come on, cheapos. It's 15 minutes of work. Get off your rear ends and write. Yeah, see, I'm talking to people over here who aren't involved even. All right, next. Danielle, you look like you wanted to write that one up. I saw it in your eyes there for a minute. Okay, great. That's wonderful. Perfect. Okay, so continues the Gemara. Then the Mishnah says, Afapisha ein charoset mitzvah. That's when you bring the charoset, even though it's not a mitzvah. Well, if it's not a mitzvah, what the heck am I bringing it for? Asked the Gemara. Velo mitzvah mishum maimaitila. Omer Ami mishum kapa. So this is what we discussed earlier. That is a machlokas. We've shown him what exactly kapa is. I mean, we discussed it yesterday in the context of the question of whether you're supposed to have the charoset at that point. I'm right, aren't I, or am I getting mixed up? We didn't do this already, did we? Yesterday? No. Okay. So then we had a machlokas. What is kapa? Remember, so that according to Rashi's approach, the kapa is a poison. It's not literally poison, but it's a stomach irritant, which can get you sick if you eat a lot of it. And because of that, we want to make sure that you are going to dip your matzah in charoset, but don't take the charoset as being some kind of mitzvah. It's something that you do in order for the lettuce to be edible. So that is one approach. The other approach is that kapa is a worm. It's a live worm. And it's dangerous to swallow live. Now, that we discussed yesterday, how it's mutter to eat worms. And remember, we talked about the machlokas in the Gemara and Chulin, about whether a worm that grows inside of a lettuce is usher to eat. According to Shmuel, who holds that it's usher, we said, rove lettuce does not have these worms. So as far as the halacha is concerned, you don't have to check for those worms. But because of the sakana, which is more chomer than halacha, so because of the sakana, you have to use the charoset to kill the worm in case it's there. That's how Tosus understands the Shmuel. Anyway, Omar Rav Asi, kapar chasa chama. Here we're talking about what do you do to cure an attack of kapa. So if you're sick with the kapa of lettuce, the thing to do is have a radish. Now, of course, the radish also has kapa, so you can get nice sick from your radish. So if you've been attacked by the kapa of the radish, the thing to do is to eat yourself some karti, which is leeks. Now, if you've eaten the karti and gotten sick from the kapa of the karti, you can see that this is sort of an ongoing problem. So the best situation, says the Gemara, therefore, is you could drink hot water. And the real truth is that hot water helps for the kapa of any type of veggie. So always make sure you've got some tea on hand. Anyway, while you're getting this ready and you're making your tea, you have to say the following incantation to keep that kapa away from your tummy. And you say, all right, kapa, kapa, you no good, rotten garbage bin. I know you. I know all about you and your 7 daughters and your 8 daughter-in-laws. You ain't fooling me for a moment. And then you splash the hot water over all of that kapa and goodbye, kapa. Anyway, so now we had, however, the other shita. Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Tzadok, what do you mean it's not a mitzvah? Of course it's a mitzvah. Ah, so what would be the mitzvah of charoset according to Rebbe Elazar, Rebbe Tzadok? What does it say in the Torah about charoset? It is a mitzvah, says Rebbe Levi. It's zecher letapuach. And Rebbe Yochanan says it's zecher letit. Now, once again, over here, we have the duality in the Ramazim. And we've had this in the matzah. Remember, the matzah at the beginning of the Seder is the lechem oni and the pain. The ochla avatana ba'ara de Mitzrayim. That comes at the beginning. The lechem oni at the end of the matzah, when we say matzah zusha onu ochlim is al shem shen nigalu. The same thing is true about the kosot. We have the machlokas about, are the first kosot a remes to the freedom? And the second one, are they to the process or vice versa? We have the same idea over here about the charoset. There were two wonderful things in the charoset. First of all, it is similar to tit, so it looks like mortar, and that's a reminder of the pain of the period. But it also is made out of these beautiful things that Klal Yisrael is compared to. And the reason that it's made in that fashion is because there was a great miracle. This, you'll remember, those of you who were at the Siyum of Shmos, when we learned the sugya of Pekudei, Vayakto Pekudei, you'll remember that Shmot begins with the story of reproduction. And it ends with the story of reproduction, which is the Noshim Ashet Savu Petach Omoi. And that was Al Shem, as Rashi brings, the Marot HaTzovot. It's a play on word, that they were Amidu Tzvaot Tzvaot. The Yisrael were Poru V'Rovu V'Yishritzu V'Yirbu B'Mod Mod. So that the entire thing was a story of unbelievably miraculous under those circumstances, in the middle of a Holocaust, to be able to increase the population in this fashion. And that is Zecher LeTapuach. So that's a remez in the Posek in Shir HaShirim. Tachat HaTapuach Orarticha. So I turned you on underneath the apple tree, which is a remez to those mirrors that were used for stimulating husbands, as Rashi brings. And that was a immense nace. What happened was, not only were the husbands able to impregnate their wives, despite the fact that they were in that kind of awful situation, but the women who gave birth as if they were in Gan Eden before the Chet. And the Gemara says that they were molidot without any tsar. So this was a remez back to the original tapuach, which was, of course, a remez to the Eitz Hadas and the Eitz HaChaim before it was wrong, and that was the tapuach, which is really an esrog, as Tosfos explains elsewhere. That's where we get the idea that the esrog is the Eitz Hadas. That's where the goyim get the idea that the apple is the apple of the original Eitz Hadat, right? So that is where it comes from. Tachat tapuach oraticha. Anyway, so because of that, as Tosfos brings over here from the Tshuvas HaGaonim, we have a lot of psukim that Klal Yisrael are compared to fruit, and those fruits should be all used in the charoset. So we have Tachat HaTapuach Orarticha, we have Kepelach HaRimon Rakatech, we have Ateina Chantaf Agya, we have Amarti Ele B'Tamar V'Alchzeh B'Sansinav, we have El Ginat Egoz Yoradeti, and so on. So that means that the minhag of using all of these different things, like nuts and pomegranates and figs and dates and so on, and shkedim is another beautiful remez, because shkedim is a lotion of shokade, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was shakad HaKadosh Baruch Hu ala ketz, as we mentioned. So it's the getting things done fast. Okay, all of that is a remez in the Tachat HaTapuach. But there's also the other approach. The other approach is that it's a remez to the pain of the shibut. And therefore, we have two different shitas. Rabbi Levi says it's zecher l'tapuach. Rabbi Yochanan says it's zecher l'tit. And Abaya points out that both of them obviously are applicable. And because of that, we should make sure to do both. Hilkach tzorech l'kuhuye v'tzorech l'simuche. So you need to give it a little bit of that esrog-like tartness, which is the tapuach, and that's the zecher l'tapuach, and you need to make it thick, so it should be zecher l'tit. Now, Tosfos also brings the Yerushalmi, that there should be a remez to the blood that was spilled in Mitzrayim, and therefore you use red wine, and that's why, says Tosfos, we have the whole problem of dipping it, because if you dip in it, it's going to be a liquid. Whereas the way we described it until now, who cares if you dip it in charoset if it's not a liquid? So where's the liquid? Fruit, the fruit juice is not called a liquid. It's not one of the Shiva Mashkim. So why do we need to do the Tilat Yadayim? You see, so all of it is interconnected. Since you need to have in it some element of wine and you make it more liquidy, the wine is, of course, going to make your hands coming in contact with the wine will make the wine tamei, and therefore you need to wash it. And then the wine will be chozer lios rishon, and the rishon will make everything that you touched on. Okay. Whew, it's a complicated time this night, let me tell you. It's not a joke that we spent the entire Masechta basically learning every single sugya throughout Kol HaTorah Kula that would have anything to do with the things that we're going to be doing, like the Tuma and the Taira and the dinim of the brachas and the organization of which brachas when and the dinim of Kiddush and so on and so forth. It's all very complex, interwoven play for tonight. So, Tanya Kavase, the Rabbi Yochanan, we actually have a braita that says we need to use tavlin, we need to use a type of spices that are long spices, let's say like ginger or cinnamon, zecher leteven, and that would be the type of spices that use. And then the way that we actually grind up the charoset is a zecher letit. So we want you to have not only the mortar, but also the tevin that we had to run around collecting the tevin for the making everything with. Amr of Elizabeth, Rabbi Tzadok, I could tell you in practical terms, I know that when you used to walk down the streets in Yerushalayim, the people in the stores, they would always hawk their wares from the windows. The announcement at the store was, come and get your tavlin for the mitzvah. And according to the Chachamim, there was no mitzvah. They say in the Mishnah, there is no mitzvah. Well, the marketplace proves them wrong. There was a mitzvah, and that's my shita. It is a mitzvah to dip in charoset. Always look to the market for the bottom line. Okay, we are now ready for our kapitan who will take us deeper into the Seder tonight. And so we have arrived at the Kos Sheni. For some reason, Barnea is identifying me with the apocalypse, all types of monsters and devils. Drink, please, he calls me, 666. Go ahead.
Every six words, we're going to be machmer now.
All right. So, it is now time to pour the second kos. Now, obviously, it is not time to pour the second kos. We're only going to be drinking the second kos after the whole Agada. So why in the world are we pouring the second kos? Now, of course, we all know why. Because invariably it spills all over the table. Everything has to be lifted. You need to put on new That's why we pour the second kos. So it's really there for an intelligent child to say, what, are you stupid or something? Why are you pouring a second kos now? So if the kid is smart, and this is the way the Girsa is brought from in the Rashbam, if the kid is smart, he's going to say, who is stupid enough to pour a kos now before the meal and before we do anything? And if he does that, then it should say, V'chein ha-ben shoel aviv, and then it would be completely appropriate at seeing this for an aware child to say, this is not smart, because it is not smart, as we all know from bitter experience. And therefore, here is the makom where I told you before that other Rishonim or Mashma, that the Manishtana does not have a particular girsa. So the way the Rashbam understands it is that at this point, an intelligent child will tell a parent, what the heck are you doing? Ah, says parent, what the heck am I doing? Smart boy you are. Big question, can you say smart girl you are? Yes, says the Kitzur Shulchan Aruch. Yes, says the Aruch HaShulchan. Smart girl you are. But in any event, smart kid you are. And let me tell you something. You know why? Because this night is different from all other nights. Because on this night we went out of Mitzrayim. And never say a word about the Manishtana. Wouldn't that change everything? But suppose you don't have an intelligent kid, continues the Mishnah. Ve'im ein dat baben, but if your son is not very bright, then you have to teach him the Manishtana, because he's obviously not responding to normal stimuli. So at that point, aviv melamdo, that's how the Rashbam learns. So then according to that, it would mean patarta milomar Manishtana that we said before about Abaya meant very literally, excellent. You parted us from needing to teach you the Manishtana. Because the only reason that we say over the Manishtana is because some of you were not bright enough to ask. So because of that, we teach you. Manishtana alayla zemikol alaylot. Shebechol alaylot anu achlim chameitzu matzah. Alayla zekulo matzah. Shebekol olalot anu achlim she'ar yirakot. Ah, for some reason tonight we're looking at this stuff, alayla zeh maror. Shebekol alaylot, as you're sure you've all heard this one, Shebekol alaylot anu achlim basar tzali shalukum mevushal, halayla hazeh kulot tzali. Now that's the way to teach your kid for this coming Pesach, of course. So on all other nights, we eat all types of meats, whether they are bride, or whether they're cholenti, or whether they're whatever type of stew. Tonight, we only eat this delicious bride. Why is that? And that, of course, is because it's a Korban Pesach. Shebekol alaylot anu matpilin pa'amachat. We'll see what the correct gear says in the Gemara when it works it out. Alayla zeh shtei pa'amim. And then, according to however intelligent the son is, now we've seen that we've got to teach a child to ask the question. That means, obviously, we have to question the intelligence of the child to hear the answer. So we teach whatever is appropriate to the level of the child's intelligence. But one thing is for sure, and that is that the way that the entire story needs to be told over is you must begin with Gnut, and you must be Misayim B'Shevach. So in other words, it starts off with the lack of distinction, even a disgrace of people that were in slavery or that were Eved Avodah Zarah. We'll talk about what exactly this means, that there's two levels. Again, the dualism that goes throughout the Seder is expressed most deeply in the two Haggadahs. You begin with something disgraceful, and you end up with great distinction, with Shevach. So from disgrace to distinction. Matko b'nut, b'gnut, u'misayim b'shevach. And the only way to be Yotzi, your chiev, is you must be doresh the psukim in Arami Oved Avi until you finish the entire parsha of Arami Oved Avi. So the question is that really true? Because we don't say the part about v'yavienu el ha-makom hazeh. Or are we being soimich on the Dayenu, where we do say, Natat alanu et beta bechira, and the Mizbeach, lechaper lanu akol chatotenu, that's something that we're going to have to discuss. But in any event, Tana Rabbanan. Yeah?
I think Rebbe should continue at the same pace, because this is so yesodistic in what we're dealing with. It's after 8, the upcoming blood are huge. I think we need to add in 1 or 2 shirim at night to keep pace.
Fine, we shall see. Tana Rabban, Chacham Bino. So if the son's got these brains, so then the son asks him, Imeinu Chacham, somebody should ask, Ishto Shoalato. And the truth is, if nobody else is there to ask questions, Ushoel Atzmo. So then ask Matnishtana yourself, or ask questions to yourself. And in fact, afilu shnei tamidei chachamim shiyodim beilchot ha-pesach. So they may all know the details of the halachas. They still have to be shalim zeh lazeh. Why are we doing what they know very well why they're doing? Ma nishtana halayla mizeh. Azeh mikol halilot shebchol halilot anu madbilim pa'am achat. Halayla hazeh shtei pa'amim. Says Rava, what do you mean? What, we have to dip once every night? What do you mean anu madbilim pa'am achat? I mean, I don't know. I know lots of people that don't dip anything. They don't eat veggies. I mean, maybe they just want a steak. Well, how do you explain that? That's not the right gears. The right gears that say like this. Says, what do you mean, chayavim? There's no chiev. Come off it. How can you say you're chayev? The kid's going to ask, why are we chayev? And what are you going to tell him? So that you should ask why we're chayev. I mean, that's ridiculous. What, you could call that, it's a chayev, it's a mitzvah, because we want to get kids curious? You can't call that chayevim. Therefore, says Reb Safra, that's the wrong gear. So also, the correct way to say it is, ein onu matbilin afilu pamachat. We don't, make a point of being matpil even once. Tonight, we make a point of being matpil twice. And then you say, Matchil b'gnut u'misayim b'shevach. Now, what exactly is the disgracefulness of the initial matzav? And of course, you note that the whole point of Matchil b'gnut u'misayim b'shevach is Nishtana. You're stressing the change. The reason we need to stress the change is because the makor of the mitzvah is not v'igadeta levimcha. The makor of the mitzvah is zachoret hayom hazeh, which means that you need to make an impact on your awareness, and that means the best impact is always contrast. Not the best, the truth is the only impact is always some level of contrast. But the greater the contrast, the greater you know the difference. And your brain basically will always work by increasing contrast so that you can actually know the difference between one thing and the other. What is amazing, gentlemen, is that even in terms of your memory, your brain will increase the contrast. I just published this last week. Your brain will increase the contrast in your memory so that you will be able to be zocher even on the simplest level, which is absolutely astounding. So if an event takes place that was extremely traumatic, the brain does not need to increase the trauma as opposed to your normal behavior. But if something happens that needs to be remembered that was not particularly noticeable, when you recall the event, it is much more noticeable than it was at the time. So that if you're asked to pick out a color and to contrast two colors, if the colors are close together, in memory, you will pick out a color on a color chart that is much further apart by several pages than it was at the actual time. But if your initial colors were far apart, you will remember exactly where they are. That is wild. That is mamish, the mitzvah of zichor. And they did this, of course, with a large sample of people. It's a brilliant experiment. Can you pick out colors and the difference between colors that you saw? The closer the colors are, the more the brain exaggerates the difference, because otherwise there's no zechira. Come on, man. Is that not a haggadah for you? It's absolutely amazing. So therefore, the mitzvah specifically is in terms of zechira. The further apart you get, the more it becomes something that you're aware of. And therefore, matchil b'gnut u'misayim b'shevach. Now, what is the gnut and shevach that you are contrasting? Well, Rav says the gnut is contrasting mitchila ovdei avodat kochavim ayu avotenu va'achshav kirvanu hamakom la'avodato. So what you want to contrast, this is weird because it does not seem to be nogea, the Yitzias Mitzrayim story. I thought the Hagora was about Zechorat Hayom Hazer sheyatzata miMitzrayim. And this is talking about Arami Oved Avi as Avram Avinu being lost back in his original town of Ur. There he was in Ur Kastim, as the Rambam says, Mushka ben ovdei kochavim atipshim. He is sunk. Sunk means he is lost. And then, finally, again, as the Rambam describes, Yitzias Mitzrayim in Hilchot Avodat Kochavim, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu sent Moshe Rabbeinu and brought us to Har Sinai. Did they leave Egypt? Oh, I don't know. That's not important. Let's mention that. So until HaKadosh Baruch Hu was Sholach Moshe Rabbeinu, Rabban Shokal HaNevim, absolutely incredible description of Yitzias Mitzrayim that doesn't even mention Yitzias Mitzrayim. So take a look at the end of Hilchos Avodas Kochavim, of the first paragraph of Hilchos Avodas Kochavim, and you will flip out. Okay? Who's taking that one on? Benny, you have not been attending the Haggadah. Benny, if we're not going to be learning all of us today at this rate, at least be here. What do you say, man? You ready to write up a capsule?
I'm not very good at writing.
I see. Okay, fine. Then we'll let you off. But we'd love to have you. All right. Shmuel says, Avodim ayinu leparo b'mitzrayim vayotzienu Hashem Elokeinu. So we started off in this state of disgraceful slavery, and then HaKadosh Baruch Hu took us out with incredible distinction, with everybody throwing flowers at us as we were walking by, all of the women throwing their best dresses at us. Please wear this. We too want to have a piece of the action, and so on. Omale Reb Nachman Lodaro Avde. Now here is a wonderful marker for the Rambam that nobody has noticed. Says Reb Nachman to Daro, his servant, "Tell me something, Daro, my boy. Avda dam afik le mara le cheirut v'yoyev le kaspe b'dav. My boy, le mimarle. If a servant was freed by his master, and then he even gives him gold and silver, and he lets him out with great distinction, what should he say?" Says Daro, "Oh my God, Bolo Duyev Leshabuche. I mean, he's got to thank him. He's got to say how wonderful he is." And therefore, says Reb Nachman, now, this piece in the Gemara does not appear in the Rashbam or many other Rishonim. And indeed, it does not make much sense. B'tartan milomar manishtana. How in the world did he patter him from lomar manishtana? So the Rashbam's girsa is simply, Patach v'amar avadim ayinu lefaro b'mitzrayim. The Rambam says, what you're supposed to say to your son is, see this servant over here that is serving us at the table? That's the way we were. So imagine what it would be like to be like that and then to go out. Hey, Daro, what would it be like to go out? Oh, it'd be incredible. See, avadim ayinu lefaro b'mitzrayim, just like Daro. So that's exactly the way the Rambam understands the Gemara. In order for us to say, avadim ayinu lefaro b'mitzrayim, we need to bring out how what an incredible thing it would be. If you were like this, how would you feel at getting out? So we actually ask Daro, what do you say, Daro? Would you be sad because you had such a great color TV downstairs in your little room? Or would you be happy? Oh, man, I'd be overjoyed. Okay, great. So that's what we're talking about to the child. All right, we're ready to continue. Oh, Sir Richard. Boy, oh boy. Oh, Sir Richard.
I couldn't help thinking that Reb Nachman, after he asked Daro, what he knew, forget about it, baby, you're here for it.
No, he was wonderful to Daro.
What?
He was wonderful to Daro. Okay, go for it, Rich. Thank you. Rabbi Gamliel haya omer. So Rabbi Gamliel at the Seder would say, Ko shelo amar shlosha dvarim elu bepesach lo yadla yadei chovato. If you did not say these following three things, you were not yotze your chiev. So what does that mean, you were not yotze your chiev? It's quite obvious in my Anias daiti. I wish it was really Anias, but... I wish I was really an Anof. But anyway, it's quite clear to me that it's a reference to the Mishnah, what we've been talking about. Obviously, it's talking about you're not going to be Yotzi Yer Chiyav of Haggadah, and that's the way the Rambam paskins. He brings in Halacha Hey, Koshlo Amar Shlosha Dvorim Alalu, Vakol Advorim Alalu are called Haggadah. That's the point. The whole point, says the Rambam. It's incredible to me that there's some achronim that could go out and say that it's referring to, if you didn't say these things when you eat your Pesach, Matzah, and Maror, then you're not Yotzi Yer Chiyav of Achila. It's not a din in the Achila. It's a din in the Haggadah. So, Elohein, Pesach, Matzah, or Maror. How do we know that we have to do that? Because it says Beferish in the Torah, Pesach, is because HaKadosh Baruch Hu was pasach abatei avotenu b'mitzrayim, as it says, that if you're going to be asked, so then v'amartem zevach pesach hu la'Hashem asher pasach, your child is asking you, what the heck is this? This is a zevach pesach, that's what it is. And therefore, I need to say it's a zevach pesach, al shem shepasach. Then when we get to the matzah, now how do we know that we have to do this for matzah too? That is not because of lechem oni. Because lechem oni does not mean I am a chuyev to say I am eating this matzah, because it just means that we're telling over the story in the presence of matzah. How do we know that I have to say matzah zosha anu ochlim al shuma? Says Tosfos, because since the Torah compares the Pesach to the matzah morar by saying al matzot umorim yochluhu, because of that, it means that all three ingredients are also learned out from Zevach Pesach ulashem asher Pesach. And each thing has to be explained for what it is in order to be yotzei the chiev of the Haggadah, which is the bavur zeh, Bezman Shepesach and more and so on are munachim lefanecha. So that's all part of how you say over the Haggadah, not how you eat your things. It's outrageous to me. Anyway. So matzah is al shum shenigalu avotenu mimitzrayim. Shenemar vayofu et habatzek asher otziu mimitzrayim ugot matzot. Now note that this is a completely different shenemar. Because the Shenemar, Zevach Pesach Ul Hashem, that is the mocker of the Chiev, not just the story. The Shenemar by the Matz is not the mocker of the Chiev, which is learned out from Pesach, it's the mocker of the story. And this is the other face of Matzah, that this was Al Shem Shenigalu, as opposed to Ho Lachma Anya, no two completely different faces to Matzah, how that ties into the breaking the matzah into two, which is an actual figurative act of making two faces to matzah. This is amazing stuff, guys. So please write that up and put it in your pipe. Good. I don't say and smoke it. I say and write it. Next, Morar. Morar is al shum shemera ruh hamitzriim et chayei avotenu. This is the way that they embittered us. Shenemar vaymararu et chayehem. And this obviously is not the marker of the Chiev, because it's said even before we get to the description of the Yitzio or the description of the mitzvah of the Achila. It's just part of what happened in Mitzrayim. Vaymararu et chayehem. So it's obviously not Mekar. Furthermore, b'chol dor vadar, chayav adam lirot et atzmo kilu hu yatza mimitzrayim. Shenemar vigata levincha bayomu leimor. So you have to see yourself as if you went out of Mitzrayim. Now this, the Rambam does not bring as you have to see yourself. He brings it, and we spoke about this, those of you who were at the Haggadah discussion last night. This is a very important nekudah. The Rambam says beferish that b'chol dor v'dor chayav adam lirot et atzmo. He says that this is not part of the mitzvah of Haggadah. Why not? It's part of Vigadata Levincha Lemor Bavurzas Hashem Li. What do you mean it's not part of the Haggadah? It says Beferish, Vigadata Levincha. Why, it should be a fundamental part of the Haggadah. Okay? So, what I believe is the pshat is the Rambam does not have the girsa of Chayev Adam lirot et atzmo. He has the girsa as he brings it. Chayev Adam leharot et atzmo. What that means is that you don't talk about this. It's how you talk about this. And that's not part of Haggadah. Haggadah is what you say. And this is how it is that you convey what you're saying. And therefore it is visual, whereas the Haggadah is audio. And there's two completely different chiyuvim. One of them in terms of Haggadah, that's called Magid. This is post-Magid. And it's an addition of instructions of how it is that you're supposed to be facing the Haggadah. And since it says, Bavur Zeh Asah Hashem Li, it doesn't mean you have to say those words, Bavur Zeh Asah Hashem Li. We will see in the Gemara, there is another chiyuv from a different pasuk to actually say words that bring this out. And we'll try to figure that out, how that's included in Laharot, in a minute. Okay. But the idea over here is the way in which you act. And particularly many of the Sfaradim have a minhag to go walking around the table with Misharot Ambi Adam. You go walk around as if you are actually walking out of Mitzrayim at that point, because that gives over the sense of how intimate it is in terms of my own experience as your parent. This is what we did. So it's a question of much more of visual aids and tonalities. Lefichach. Okay, so when we finish saying that, we then add this nusach. Lefichach anu chayavim lahodot lehalel l'shabeach lefa'er l'romim lahader levarech lahale ulekales. That's 9 words of kilos, which ends in Halleluka, which is considered to be the highest kilos, as we'll see later on, which means that there are 10 words of kilos. The Rambam does not bring 10 words of kilos, and as Tosus brings over here, that there are those who say not to say more than 7 words of kilos, kineged the Shiva Rikim, and therefore they don't have this girsa, they have the Rambam's girsa, that we limit the kilos. And we're going to say all of these incredible things. We're going to glorify him. We're going to praise him. We're going to honor him. We're going to be mevarach him. We're going to extol him, whatever these loshonas are in English. This is what he did for us. So tzionu mi'avdut l'chayrut, mi'agon l'simcha, mi'evel l'yom tov, mi'afila l'or gadol. Now, as you know, what we say at this point is v'nomar l'fanav. Let us now say hallelujah. Now we start saying the hala. This is not true lahalacha. The correct girsa is, and the Mishnah Brura brings this lahalacha, you do not say v'nomar lefanav hallelujah. What you do say is v'ne'emar lefanav shir chadash, which was shira chadasha, and then Shir Chadash. This Tosus goes into here. The word Halleluka that is meant here is not what we say. It's the first word of the Hallel. It's not, let us say Halleluka, and then we start saying Hallel. It's that, and at the time we said a Shira Chadasha. The proof is, that Tosus Girsa Shira Chadasha, which we incorporate, which doesn't appear in the Mishnah, but does appear in Tosus Girsa in the Mishnah. And as Tosus points out, the Shira was said at the time. So what it's saying is, and we responded at the time by saying a Shira Chadasha. How do I know, says Tosfos? Because the Shir that we will be saying when we are Zocha to Geula will not be a Shira with a Hey. It will be a Shir Chadash, not a Shira Chadasha. And the difference is, as we learned in Erechin, that all the Shirot until the Geula are always with a Hey. Why? Because they are part of a process. And therefore, they are feminine. Feminine is part of this incredible, long, which men give up on over and over again process, which women keep throwing themselves into incredibly and go through all kinds of hell to achieve. So that's what a Shira is. It's an ongoing development like birth itself. And just like every time there's birth, there's always tzoras to come. It doesn't end with the baby. It starts with the baby, as you know. And therefore, so too is the Shira. You think you've gotten out of Egypt, you just started. You have no idea what's in store for you. It's like all the poor fools that go and get married and dance around, and we're all pretending that, yep, now you've done it. Wonderful, wonderful. And then they start finding out for the next 60, 70 years or so what it's really about. But that's also what the Geula is about. But finally in the Geula, Tida, then we can say a Shir Chadash, because there's no more nonsense to come. So then it's no longer feminine. Okay. So therefore, this has got to be referring, the Mishnah Berurah paskins this, v'ne'emar lefanav shira chadasha, with a segel. You have to pronounce it, with a segel brings the Mishnah Berurah. And then there will be a shir chadash, and that will be lasilava. And then this halleluka is not the word halleluka, it's the actual beginning. How much halal do you say? Arechanu omer, says Beit Shammai, you say until Eim Habanim Semecha, Halleluka, but you do not say Betzeit Yisroel Mimitraim. Why do you not say Betzeit Yisroel Mimitraim? Because as it says in the I don't think it's Yerushalmi, I think actually it's a Brisa. It says that Beit Shammai says, what do you mean? We're at the stage of the discussion where we haven't yet left Mitzrayim. So how are we saying Betzeit Yisroel Mimitraim now? Wait until later. Why do we split the hollow into two parts at all? Because remember that we had before in the sugya that the difference, one of the differences between Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni is that at Pesach Rishon, not only in the Hakrovas HaKarban do we need hollow, but in the Achila we need hollow. Whereas in Pesach Sheni we don't need in the Achila because it says Belel Hitkadesh Chag. And since there is no Chag, so therefore there's no din of hollow at the Achila. In order to show that the halal is not an introduction to the achila, not a celebration post-achila, but is actually wraps the achila in halal, we say some of the halal before and some of the halal afterwards. Okay, so that's very important to understand. So if we're supposed to be living through, this is the same achlokas that we had before about which of the two kosot are mechayev the hasiba, whether we're looking from the point of view of a perspective of freedom to what we went through. So that Beit Hillel says, so then we would say up front, Betzeit Yisrael mi Mitzrayim. But Beit Shammai says, but we're not, we're celebrating. We haven't gotten to Betzeit Yisrael mi Mitzrayim yet. Save that for after the Seder, when the whole point of the Seder is at that point we've achieved the level of Cheres. So therefore, Beit Hillel says, no, you've got to say Betzeit Yisroel Mimitzrayim, Ad Chalamish Lamayinu Mayim, and talk about Kriyas Yamsuf, and as you're looking at the perspective of the freedom to come. And then you complete the story and this praise with Geula. That's a bracha called the bracha of Geula. The Mishnah doesn't describe what that bracha of Geula is. This is not a new shita, as Rashbam points out. It now begins to tell you what is the Chotem Begula. That's a machlokas. Rabbi Tarfon says it's a short bracha, and it does not have a chatima. So it's simply Asher Ga'alanu v'Ga'alat Avotenu Mimitzrayim, and there is no chatima because, like we learned before, because one of the other sugyas that we had to go through in Pesachim is the Nusach of Brachas. Remember, that's why it all comes out in the Seder. So that's all that we say. But Rabbi Akiva says, no, we should be mazkir in the Gulas Mitzrayim. Ema chashecha gedayla nefeles. Remember that Mitzrayim is only a model for the entire process of Golas and Geula. And therefore, we have to add the tefillahs for the future Geula. Kein Hashem Elokeinu v'lokei avoteinu. Yagienu lemoadim leregalim acherim aboim lekratenu leshalom, and these could be new types of chagim, where we have a new shir, where Tisha B'Av becomes a holiday. Smeichim bebinyan ircha, usmeichim. So this is therefore a whole long tefillah, says Rabbi Akiva, and therefore this becomes a brocha aruka, and it's mechayev a chatima. So you can't just say the first line. And because of that, you must end with V'nochal sosim avodatecha, V'nochal sham min hazvachim u'min hapsachim. Now note the two girsaot, and I'm sure as you've all seen, there are those who say that this year you're supposed to say min hapsachim u'min hazvachim, and not min hazvachim u'min hapsachim. Why is this year different? Why is this year different than any other year? Because normally we bring the Chagiga on Erev Pesach. And therefore we first have our Chagiga Zvachim and then the Psachim. But since this year Erev Pesach is a Shabbos Kodesh, so therefore the only Chagiga that we will bring is the Chagiga on the 15th, not on the 14th. So you have to say first the Psachim and then the Zvachim. However, we don't paskin like that for the same reason that the nusach of brachas are kavua and we don't change it in a particular circumstance because it's not a reference to what we are eating, and we've made that very clear many times in order to avoid any sense that we actually have psachim and zvachim, and therefore we don't change the girsa and we end with Baruch Ata Hashem Ga'al Yisrael. Or my Rava, you need to add the words somewhere. The Otanu Hotzimisham. Why? Now this Otanu Hotzimisham is a completely different pasuk. It is not the pasuk that we brought before. Bavur Zasha Hashem Li. This is the pasuk of when you're talking to your son who is a chacham. who says Mahedut Vachukim and so on and so forth, Asher Tziva Hashem Elokeinu Etzchem and so on, that's where you say Va'otanu Hotzi Misham Laman Haviotanu Latet Lanu Et Haaretz, and therefore says Rava, and there here is where the Rashbam changes in his own girsa, Leharot. Because in speaking this way, you are showing that it did affect all of us. And therefore, even though it's not included in the mitzvah of Haggadah, to be Laharot, you need, when you're saying it, to say the pasuk in a way that expresses what it is that you're being mar'et. We get to the question of how do we implement the Koshel HaOmer Shlosha Dvarim Elu B'Pesach, Lo Yatzei Yedei Chovato, which was in our Mishnah. And now we're talking about how we do it. The way we do it is we lift it up, basically. We call attention to Matzah Zosh Anu Ochlin, Mor Zesh Anu Ochlin. Therefore, says Rava, when you say Matzah, you actually have to lift it up to show it so that it's clear what the Zeh is. Now, actually, this daf here is going to be focusing on the idea of Zeh and the implications of Zeh. So one implication is we need to be able to identify it and therefore lift it. Moror, when we say Moror Zeh Shanu Ochlin, Mashuma, Tzorich Lagbia, you lift that up as well. Note, by the way, that the way that we do it is we ask a question, even on that, right? We don't just say it, Anu Ochlin Matzah Zu Al Shem. We say, why? Because, again, everything, even this issue, is expressed in terms of question and answer, for the same reason that we said Manishtana. So the Morar also, you have to lift it up. But the Basar that we use as a simon for the Pesach and for the Chagiga, you do not have to lift up when you say Pesach Zeshan Ochum. Not only that, it's a terrible thing to lift it up, because if you do, it looks like you actually made this thing Kodesh to be a Pesach, and as if it's Ka'ochel Kochim B'chutz. Omer V'achara Yaakov, another implication of Zeh is that you have to be able to see it. Because when you say Zeh, you are referring to something that your brain is capable of locating. This. Now, how exactly are you locating this matzah if you don't have vision? So this brings us to the next question, which is, what would be the din of someone who is blind in terms of his chiyuvim? So, Omer Rav Acha Bar Yaakov, Esuma is patur milomar Haggadah. You do not have to say the Haggadah if you are, chas v'sholem, blind. Because k'tiv acha ba'avur zeh. Look, I mean, the lashon that we have over here, which is the thing that's mechayev us to say zeh, is the fact that HaKadosh Baruch Hu says to us, tell your children, Bavur Zed, that it's because of this Aveda, this Achila. And this means you need to be able to see it. Now, that same language as Bavur Zed also appears in the Sugya of Ben Sorer Umore. And by Ben Sorer Umore, we learn out, where it says, Benenu Zed Sorer Umore, we learn out from there that a Suma cannot bring a child in to be a Ben Sorer Umore, because it's Zeh is Dafka, not someone who cannot see. So Lechora, it would mean the same thing here that it would mean there. Is that true? That people who are blind are not chayev to say the Haggadah? Maremar says that I once asked, and this is the reason, of course, that I asked, I wanted to find out, Rav Yosef was blind. And I asked the Rabbanon in the Rabbi Yosef's yeshiva, where he would invite them to the Seder, Man di Omer Haggadah Tabei Rabbi Yosef, who used to say the Haggadah in Rabbi Yosef's house? And they said, Rabbi Yosef. And I asked also, who said the Haggadah Hashal Pesach in Rav Sheshes' home? And remember, Rav Sheshes was also blind. And they said Rav Sheshes. So now, if you're telling me that Asuma is potter from the Haggadah, how do you explain the fact that they were motzi acherim yedei chovam if they themselves weren't chayev? You cannot be motzi someone a chayev without having a chayev yourself. So apparently, there is actually no limud from Ben Sarumor. Answers the Gemara, no. Rabbi Yosef and Rabbi Sheshes apparently hold that matzah bizman hazeh is derabbanan. Because since the Torah compares amatzotum rorim yochlu to the chiyuv of Pesach, so wherever there is no chiyuv of Pesach, there is no chiyuv of matzah. So therefore, it's only a drabbanan bizman hazeh. Therefore, since it's only a drabbanan, so then that would mean that the entire mitzvah halayla, which is bizman shematzah umor mulachim lefanecha, is not applicable. Because that was the whole limud that we learned out. Bavur zeh is dafka, the mocker of our understanding that there is no chiyuv unless there is a zeh. So by the same token, if there is no chiyuv in the matzah, then there is no chiyuv in the bavur zeh either. In which case, they hold that they who are blind are chayev only drabbanan, but everyone else who is not blind is also chayev only drabbanan, and because of this, they are able to go ahead and to be motzi others. Wait a second. So are you saying that Rav Acha bar Yaakov, he has to hold that matzah bizman hazeh is d'oraita? Because, I mean, Rav Acha bar Yaakov is the one who said that someone who is a suma is potter from the Haggadah. Why would he make such a psak halacha? If it's irrelevant, everybody is only chayev d'rabbanan. So, I mean, he must hold that actually everyone else is chayev d'oraisa and a suma isn't. But that doesn't make sense because Rav Acha bar Yaakov is dafka the shita, which we're going to be getting to soon, who holds that matzah bizman hazeh is only d'rabbanan. This is really weird. If he's the one who holds that it's only d'rabbanan, then why would he say that it's the Suma who's potter? Because he holds that the Rabbanan actually follow the same idea as the D'oraisa. And anything that the Rabbanan were metakein, so if the Rabbanan said, you are chayev bizman hazeh, they said it the same way that the Torah said it. If the Torah said that someone who is blind is not chayev, so even though the Rabbanan were mechayev those who are potter today, they did not include the blind. Because the Torah didn't include the blind. So basically, the way that the Rabbanan are always gozer or metakein things is me'ein d'oraita. They follow the template that the Torah provided us. So therefore, there's no problem. Rav Acha bar Yaakov simply says, yes, it's true that the entire chiyuv is d'rabbanan, but by that same token, there is no chiyuv whatever on someone who's blind. Now, the way you had it, we take it down one level so that the Torah is enforced bizman hazeh, the Rabbanan were mechayev, even those who are brought to midiraisa. Says Gemara, but isn't that a principle that everybody agrees to? I mean, Reb Sheshes and Reb Yosef have to agree that kol the token Rabbanan came to midiraisa token. So if you're telling me that the reason that they were being motzi, the Talmidim, even though they were blind, was because they held that nowadays there is no chiyuv on anyone midiraisa, so then they would have to agree with Rav Acha bar Yaakov that that would mean that the new chiyuv that was instituted midrabbanan is a chiyuv that does not apply to the blind. So then again, they would be potter totally, and they're trying to be motzi their talmidim with the chiyuv d'rabbanan. You can't do that. You can only be motzi someone when you have an equivalent chiyuv. Something's wrong. So how in the world did Rav Sheshes and Rav Yosef read the Haggadah for everybody? Therefore, the Gemara says, okay, you know what? Forget it. The whole limud, they disagree with. Rav Sheshes and Rav Yosef actually hold that there is a chiyuv, even on someone who is blind, and they can be motzi, even midiraisa. Aye, what do you do with the posek of Baneinu Zeh Soreru Moreh, from which we learned out that you have to also be Mekayim Zeh, by being able to see it, by simply denying that it has any validity. The word zeh in that context is totally different than the word zeh in this context. What kind of comparison can you make between the two sugyas of Ben Soru Mora and Bavur Zeh? For heaven's sakes, Bishlama Hatam, I understand that when we're talking about the case of the Ben Soru Mora, the parents are coming into Beit Din. They are presenting the son who was already Makabal Malkus in this Bezdin, remember, right? So they're not coming to identify the son. They did that before. They're bringing the son back to say that the malchus that Bezdin had given them was not effective. So what they should say is, Baneinu hu soreru more. That's what it should have said. Mina havila michta baneinu hu. Instead, it writes, Baneinu ze, as if we're coming to identify him for the first time as our son. Then the only meaning of the word ze would be to tell me that the parents have to be capable of seeing him and identifying him visually. That would be the meaning of ze. So therefore, it's coming to Prat Vesuma Hudiyata. That's the whole point of the pasuk. Masha'in came over here where you're telling me, Ba'avur ze, that I'm trying to identify what it was that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did for me in Yetzias Mitzrayim was for the purpose of being Mekayim his mitzvahs, that I should be able to eat matzah and maror. So then that would only be able to be said in this fashion. How else could you say it? If you wouldn't use the word Ba'avur ze, what would you say? You wouldn't be able to communicate what you're trying to communicate. So how in the world are you using it to imply that there needs to be a visual identification, for God's sake? It's completely different context. So avalocha ilav ba'avur ze, if you don't have quote, ba'avur ze, unquote, what do you expect? Tell me what you want me to write. My lichtov. Therefore, the only meaning of ze is not to talk about visual, it's to talk about ba'avur matzah umararu da'ata, that it's coming to tell me all of those other limudim, so that I should be able to be mekayim his mitzvahs, and so on and so forth. So therefore, the case of zeh, yes, if you're talking about the ben soru moreh, it's coming to tell me that the parents have to be able to see, but that has nothing to do with what we're saying over here. It could be, indeed, that aliba revacha, so explains Rashbam, it isn't that we're learning equivalent usages of zeh. We're learning a gzera shava, but Reb Sheshes, Reb Yosef, they didn't have that as a gzera shava. So what do you, they weren't makabel such a gzera shava. So what are you trying to tell me? That I should use completely different contextual usages of ze to teach me that halacha? Nonsense. They're not the same at all.